The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Hi, I'm Gordon. Cheers for downloading the podcast. On this week's episode, we've got some great stuff for you, including Charlie Hunnam. You'll remember him from Biker Grove.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him in Biking Grove?
Well, no, but I knew, once you started talking about Wee Jason.
Yeah, Wee Jason. Three episodes, the highlight of his career. He's on the show talking in a very exciting manner about his new film. Also got Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park. Did you like Mike?
Yeah, he's such an upbeat guy, wasn't he?
He was a ray of sunshine. Absolutely. Classic LA style, wasn't he? A lovely tribute to Viola Beach as well. It's been a year since they passed away. And I tell a little tale about Lars from Metallica and a wonderful night out with him, U2 and Noel Gallagher. I think also, Vinna, I should mention our recounting of the emotional first night we had together on Valentine's Day for our first ever beer.
You mean we went to go and see Rag & Bone Man together?
We went to see Rag & Bone Man together on Valentine's night and I drank gin.
Stop swooning.
Definitely the woman in the partnership. I'm definitely the woman in the partnership. I hope you enjoy it. This is the Gordon Smart Evening Show podcast.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Gordon Smart here with the Evening Show. You may gather from my voice that I've had quite a big weekend, but I feel quite good considering I went to the BAFTAs, the EE BAFTAs 2017. It's the 12th time I've been to the most opulent and extravagant film ceremony that the UK hold. It really is quite a spectacle and something to behold. Really, last night as well, at the Royal Albert Hall for the first time. It's normally at the Opera House in Covent Garden. But it was really special, and it doesn't get more opulent and extravagant than having the royals there. So Prince William and Kate, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, were there, and we were sitting not too far away from them. And it kind of spoiled the show for me, because all I could look at was the solar panel that is Prince William's head. But he did very well. He's got the right touch on these things. He made a very good speech last night, and he was very good fun. Genuinely starstruck by Mel Brooks, who got the Lifetime Achievement Award. You just think of all the films. You look at his IMDb and see the things he was involved in. Everybody has a connection with his movies, from Star Wars parody Spaceballs, remember John Candy in that, Young Frankenstein, the producers, and of course Blazing Saddles, which is one of the funniest scenes in film history with the baked beans. The producers as well is one of the most decorated Broadway musicals of all time. I think it's won more Tonys than anything else. So he really deserved it, and he made a great speech, which makes a change for Lifetime Achievement, because it can all get a little bit worthy and a bit political, but he was superb. He's one of those men with funny bones. You just need to look at him and he'll make you giggle. Also last night, one of the moments I was starstruck and quite excited, and it felt like an apt moment, bumping into Spud from Trainspotting in the toilet at the BAFTAs. It felt quite right, and we did a little nod and an acknowledgement, and he knew what I was thinking, heard the Scottish accent, walked outside, and there was Kelly MacDonald outside the toilet waiting for him, and they went up to present an award after that, and I thought they did a very, very good job of it. Of course, Kelly has a musical connection and Radio X connection by being married to Dougie Payne from Travis, not Dougie Pointer. Don't get that one wrong.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X.
This is the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart, and you are listening to Radio X. That was The Farm, All Together Now. And now, on the phone, I'm very pleased to say, I've got Mike Shinoda on the phone. How are you doing, Mike, from Linkin Park?
I'm good, thank you for having me.
Tell me exactly where you are. Set the scene for us. I hope you're in some beautiful golden beach somewhere, drinking a margarita, just getting prepared for another album.
I wish that was the case. We're actually having really rainy weather here in LA.
Oh no, you're kidding. It never
yeah,
rains.
They're saying that it's going to be like the worst storm in like a decade, like tomorrow.
Well, I hope that's not an omen for the new album, Mike. I really do.
I actually love the rain, and I also love snowboarding, so the snow is going to be really good.
Well, it sounds like you're not going to have much time for any of that, because I think you're on your seventh album now. First single's been played today for the first time. It's getting a great response. How does it feel to give birth to yet another song in the Linkin Park family?
You know, I mean, we've done this a lot of different times, and we've said, you know, before different albums, like, this one is going to be really different. This one's going to be really different. And that's definitely very true for this album. But I also have to say that, like, the release of this new song, Heavy, the reaction we've been getting is just incredible. I can't remember anything like it. It's just been so awesome.
That's excellent. And you've got Kiara on the song as well, so there's a hip-hop flavor to it, but it's quite poppy as well, isn't it?
The thing is, for me, it's just a really mixed genre kind of album. That's familiar ground for us in a sense, but we've always, you know, it's been kind of the mission statement of the band. I mean, the band actually used to be called Hybrid Theory back forever ago. And with every album, I think we find a different, you know, challenge to take on in terms of how to approach it sonically, how to approach it lyrically. Well, it was really different challenge in the record is that the sounds actually didn't come first.
Yeah.
Normally, that is actually how we would write. We would write a track or, you know, either riffs or beats or something like that, and then see and whatever lyrics those inspired, you know, we'd take it from the music first. But on this album, we actually started with lyrics, and the first thing we would ask when we walked in the studio was, what am I inspired by today, or what do I want to talk about today? Mm-hmm. I remember we were in the studio, and Chester came in the morning, and we kind of just making small talk, you know, how are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm fine. And then, you know, we got started really getting into, like, what we were going to do that day, and he goes, you know what, I'm not fine. I'm not fine. Like, these are the, you know, 100 things that are going on right now, and I feel like I'm underwater, and it's like, you know, sometimes it's, you know, as they say, like, when it rains, it pours. I remember there was one point, you know, I was dealing with, like a friend who had passed away, and that was forefront of my mind. But then on top of that, I'm like looking on my Twitter feed, and the news is like weighing down on me. And then I open my cabinet in the kitchen just to get some cereal, and we've got ants everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's the ants that's like put you over the edge, right?
Yeah,
like the stupid little thing that like make you crazy. But it's stuff like that just, you know, that's kind of where the song comes from, is when you're just feeling like you can't take it. It's just too many seemingly unrelated things that are just piling up on you.
I'll tell you what, Mike, let's hear it. This is the new single from Linkin Park. This is Heavy on Radio X.
I don't like my mind right now.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
You're listening to Radio X. This is the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. That's the brand new single from Linkin Park. It's called Heavy, and I've still got Mike on the phone. Mike, here's a question for you, right? You're 7 albums in, right? You've got multi-platinum albums. You've performed with all your heroes, pretty much. Jay-Z, Paul McCartney. You've got a huge fan base. What gets you out of bed in the morning now? You know, could you not just think we'll have a few years off? We'll just put our feet up and enjoy life.
We had this moment of inflection where we said, you know, this, we can do things with this album that will make everything different. It keeps us on our toes. We can learn from people from, you know, other walks and who make music a different way. We can get in the studio and create together and step on stage with stuff that feels entirely different. I mean, you know, the just the idea of getting in with Kiara, who's on the single. I mean, she's an artist who, when I first was introduced to her, she said her favorite band is Linkin Park. I would have never guessed that by the kind of music she makes. And I love her music. I think it's amazing. And that breathed some life. Just a conversation with her, working with her a little bit, it breathed some life into the process for us.
Now, it's great to hear, Mike. And I wish you all the best with this album. Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park, all the very best, and I hope to see you live at some stage as well. Are you coming over to play in the UK?
Absolutely.
Yes.
As usual, all the latest tour dates and appearance information, all that, will be on LinkinPark.com, on our socials, Linkin Park on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook.
Great stuff, Mike. Thanks very much.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
A little bit gravelly in the voice today because we did have a night out last night. Producer Vin, me and a few of the Radio X gang went along to Clapham Grand to see Rag & Bone Man in action. And it's the first chance we've really had a chance to set eyes on them properly in a decent venue. It's a lovely venue as well. We turned up, and as we arrived, we went right up to the top floor onto the balcony to see what we could hear and see, and it was rammed. It was absolutely packed. And the first song we heard as we arrived, he was rapping. And I just wondered if it was going to be a slightly different feel than I was expecting, but it then soon became the soulful, rich, beautiful sound, and what a great band they had as well, and really thoroughly enjoyed the gig. But we gradually sort of worked our way downstairs, and it was kind of full of a lot of folk that were out for Valentine's night with a partner, so it had quite a safe feel to it for a gig with a man that's massive, covered in tattoos on stage. But what a welcoming show he put on for one guy on stage. He really had a presence, and he really held the stage, and the band around him really complimented his voice beautifully. So eventually squeezed right down to the front and could see the figure of the man, the size of the guy. He really is a huge presence, big tattoos all over him, and he had this high tops on, just for the younger folk in the crowd. But I tell you what, he really did carry off a wonderful performance last night. And he said during a few of the songs that he hadn't been gigging much recently. It's all been promo, all been recording. It didn't look like he was rusty at all. And it just goes to show he has really put the shift in, 3 or 4 years worth of touring before he got on stage and performed last night. And also, all the little bits of banter in between his tracks were excellent. In fact, on one song, which I think will be a really big hit, it was called Hell Yeah. Before he started, he asked for, "Can I get a Hell Yeah?" And what a response he got from the crowd. Then he performed it beautifully. Other little highlights as well, him singing just a cappella the last track of the night, an encore, which was beautiful. And then on Skin as well, him and just a piano. It was beautiful hearing him sing that. He was almost note perfect, a couple of little wobbles, but it was great to see the man with the confidence just winking at his band when he missed the note, or even giving them a nod when he managed to hit the super, super high notes. But what you saw from that was the potential for him to play huge arenas and go out and have a massive, massive career. You can hear John Kennedy's Exposure album playback, which is him talking through every single track on that album, and it's well worth doing that. All you've got to do is download the podcast and listen in. There are loads of great stories on there like this.
Arrow is an upbeat song, and I like that about it. But for the life of me, can't remember what the song's about. I have no idea what this song's about, and I think it was because I was a bit drunk at the time, and I think we just started singing this lyric, and we wrote the song in a really quick amount of time. It was written really quickly. But now I can't remember what it was about.
Yeah,
I listened to it, and I still can't remember what I wrote the song about. So,
and you're singing it as well. So
we'll say it's about 18th century classical music.
That was Rory Graham, a.k.a. Rag & Bone Man, speaking to John Kennedy. Make sure you download that Exposure album playback. Just get the podcast. It is excellent and well worth a listen. This is a song that really moved all of us last night. Real shivers down the spine stuff. This is the new single, Rag & Bone Man, and Skin on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Now, if you're a regular listener, you'll know that I often ask bands about the riders when they come in to visit. We've had some pretty good stuff recently. Two Door Cinema Club, they always ask for pornography with a flavour of the venue's choice. I've got a great little book, actually. It's called Little Red Riders, and it was inspired by Van Halen's demand for a bowl of M&Ms with the brown ones removed. Now, I've got the book in front of me. I'm going to just leaf over to a random page, and what have I got? I've got Rod Stewart. On Rod Stewart's rider, he asked for one bottle of Bacardi, three cans of Coca-Cola, a bottle of wine, and most importantly of all, an L-shaped sofa. Absolutely important, that, an L-shaped sofa when you're on tour and you wear tartan trousers that are very tight. Right, I had Debbie Harry on the phone for a chat last week, and I asked her what is on the Blondie rider 4 decades into the band.
What used to be on it was sort of whatever the promoter would provide, and so that, you know, was candy and drinks and sometimes nothing. Now, nowadays, I guess we've become a little bit more health conscious, and we don't want candy, although we do want it, but we don't want it, you know, one of those. A couple of vegetarians in the band, and, you know, we tend to, Clem always wants to make juice, you know, he likes to have a juicer.
We had a band on the other day who said they had their heads superimposed on some pretty weird pornography when they were in Germany. Have you had anything strange like that before?
Well, I have had a cake done once that, you know, was carved up in different ways.
That's so polite and diplomatic. An erotic cake for Debbie Harry. That was, of course, the gorgeous, pouting, rubber-clad Debbie Harry from Blondie talking to The Evening Show last week. I'm interested to know what's on your domestic rider. Never mind these opulent rock stars and their extravagance and decadence and all the wonderful things that they've got, flowers and posh candles and all that. We're sitting in the studio tonight, me and producer Vin, one single man, one lonely man in London without his family. We've got one very depressed and sad piece of carrot cake that was left behind by the Johnny Vaughan show, maybe even left behind by Dan O'Connell. I don't know, it looks like it's been there for quite a while. Might be stale. We've also got some cold soup, and we're about to have some sandwiches, which is a depressing domestic rider.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
This is The Evening Show on Radio X with me, Gordon Smart. Now, it's an honour and a privilege to have one of the most successful British acting exports of his generation on The Evening Show. You might know him as Jax from Sons of Anarchy, or his starring roles in blockbusters like Pacific Rim and Crimson Peak. And the next year, you will definitely know him for what is shaping up as a career-defining performance in the epic Amazonian adventure film The Lost City of Zed. Ladies and gentlemen of Radio X, the one and only Charlie Hunnam is here.
Wow, that was a big introduction.
Do you like that? Well, I just remember you as Jason from Biker Grove, though, because we're about 8 days apart in age.
Is that right?
I think so. Were you 1980?
1980, April.
March 1980, so I remember you early on.
Right.
So, Charlie, tell me about The Lost City of Zed. What's it all about?
The central theme of this film is the sacrifice we make
to some of our responsibilities in order to pursue or bring forth our intention for our lives. And in this case, the character that I play, Percy Fawcett, is obsessed with finding this ancient civilization in Amazonia that many have referred to as El Dorado, but he dubbed the Lost City of Zed.
So, Charlie, you've been right in the middle of all the promo for this, right? But can you tell us one thing that you haven't told anybody yet about your time making this incredible film?
That's a tough one.
I tell you what, I did see that looked really interesting. You mentioned that there was an incident with a spider in the jungle that was pretty dangerous and could have killed somebody in about 30 seconds. In fact, it might have been the director, actually, who could have died if he was stung by or bitten by the spider.
Yeah, so there was one incident that happened with the director where he was sitting in the tent. We were in Colombia in the rainforest, just south of Venezuela, and there was this pinkish cream spider about the size of a fist crawling up, and he was leaning back on the tent with just a very thin piece of gauze, tent side,
and
this thing was on his back. And we had a snake wrangler there looking after us who knew the terrain and made sure we were going to get out of the jungle alive. And he saw this thing and panicked and ran across the jungle and hit the thing off the tent.
That's
and said that if that had bitten James, he would have been dead in about 30 seconds.
You're pretty good with that stuff anyway. I mean, can you cope with it? Are you a guy that doesn't really react very well? Because the time in the jungle, I think it was Colombia, wasn't it? Venezuela.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be pretty broad-minded and cope with that stuff.
So it was definitely a challenge. So the point being that there were very, very few creature comforts, so we didn't have any chairs on set. So, you know, average day on a film set's usually pretty long when, you know, your instinct's always to want to find a rock to sit on or a tree to lean on, but it's so alive and vital, the rainforest. I mean, everywhere you look is just teeming with life. Everywhere you look, there's spiders and snakes and birds and scorpions. And so, and they're all trying to survive. They're all looking for the next meal. So anytime you put your hand on a tree, everything is going to immediately go and, you know, examine what that is and see if it's a potential meal for them. So you are in the constant process of trying to make sure that you are not their next meal.
Well, if all goes wrong, Charlie, you could always say that's a great audition for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Right, let's play a bit of music now. Charlie, you're going to stick around. This is Circa Waves, the fire that burns on The Evening Show.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
That was Circa Waves on Radio X. You are listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. I'm still joined by Charlie Hunnam, star of Lost City of Zed. Charlie was just telling us about the intensity and isolation of filming in the Amazon. What's it like going through that decompression period when you return to your loved ones? Because I read, I think, as well, that you'd bought a little present to get you back in the good book, some emeralds.
Yeah, well, I was in Colombia, and like I say, I had, really neglected my girlfriend of 11 years. It's not just some casual relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's, you know, my partner in life and incredibly supportive and understanding of these weirdo things that I feel compelled to do for my work. And so, yeah, I thought, more importantly, I needed to go and make it up with her and make her the center of my attention for a couple of months. But I also, you know, greased the rails a little bit with a nice emerald. Emeralds are, Colombia's famous for its emeralds,
yeah.
So it was an appropriate thing to bring back with me.
It's famous for a few other things. Did you bring any of that back?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was going to say as well, your cast is incredible in this. And I can tell in the interviews that I've seen when you've been together that there's a real connection between you, particularly with Robert Pattinson. It looks like mischief between the two of you when you've been doing your interviews. What was it like being together with him in an environment like that and working in such an intense way?
Well, it's interesting. I've come to like Robert enormously since we finished doing the film. We actually didn't socialize at all while we were filming, but there was a unity in the experience. I mean, we didn't really interact at all other than as the characters on screen, which was a sort of an interesting game that I think we both decided to play without ever really talking to each other about it. We just naturally fell into this dynamic. And so I left that experience, not really sure if he liked me or if I liked him. And
yeah.
Then now we've been brought back together and doing the press around this film. I've come to really like him and get to know him a bit. He's sweet.
He's a good
smart guy.
Charlie, thanks so much for coming in. All the best for the movie. It's a wonderful performance. And I think there's a bright future ahead for this one. Any awards, do you reckon?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. We'll see.
All the best, Charlie. Thanks for coming in.
All right, thank you.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio
X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So every Monday night we have a bit of a feature between me and Vin where we get a bit of muse away and discuss an album. In the last few weeks we've done Jamie T, Blur, who else have we done, Vin? We've had quite a few good ones.
We did Daft Punk last week.
Daft Punk, that was brilliant, a bit of French techno. This week we're heading to Northern Ireland and Ash for the album 1977. Can't quite believe that that was May 1996 when it came out. It's a great album, means a lot to me as well, Tim Wheeler and the band. It was around that time, it's kind of a coming of age album for me when I was a teenager. My brother was at university and if I was lucky I used to get to go for a night out with him, and that album was being played all the time. 1977, the title refers to a year where three of the events that shaped the band, there was the birth of two of the band members, and also it was when punk was kind of born, wasn't it, 1977? Damn, 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 and never mind the Whatchamacallums by the Sex Pistols. It was also the year that Star Wars was released, if you remember, and the album had a lot of little nods to that as well. I think it started with a TIE fighter, the noise of a TIE fighter roaring through space, and they had the track Dark Side, Light Side, which obviously was all about Star Wars. And they had this little trick as well where they covered Cantina Band. If you've ever heard Ash live, they used to do that quite a lot, play some Star Wars songs on stage. And they also paid a little nod to Jackie Chan in the song Kung Fu, which you remember from Rumble in the Bronx. But yeah, I absolutely loved this album in 1996. Such a coming of age, a really special time. And it was just the soundtrack to a lot of bad behaviour. Tim Wheeler said, we'd literally left school 6 months before. It was an insane time, totally mental. It was the first time we had a residential time in a studio and they had all the meals for them. You could just stay up. We just got very nocturnal and very crazy. And you can hear it in the music. They produced it themselves, aged only 18. And you can hear that, Vin, can't you? It's raw. It's full of emotion.
It's amazing how talented they were at 18 years old as well.
I know. Imagine being stuck in a studio at 18 and said, on you go, boys, make an album.
I'd hate to hear what that would sound like.
If you think about it, though, it was right at the peak of lad culture in the 90s. And I thought, from Northern Ireland as well, they were kind of the first band that came out at that time. You know, they were followed by Snow Patrol and Two Door Cinema Club, but they sort of set that path for those bands, and they were exceptional live as well at the time. Girl from Mars by Ash on Classic Albums and Radio X. Do you remember
the time when you were... The Evening Show. Classic Album of the Week. X.
That was Ash, oh yeah, and before that, Girl from Mars. Absolutely brilliant stuff. Every Monday we celebrate a classic album, and this week we are doing 1977 by Ash. Can you believe? 1996, May 1996. If you listen to the show regularly, you'll know that my tiny mind can't cope with things like this, and the progress of time, the march of time. And we're just talking about that now, right? They were younger than how old that album is now, if that makes any sense. So they were 18 when they wrote it. If that album was a human being, it would now be celebrating its 21st birthday. That blows my tiny mind. Great songs on it as well. The singles were Oh Yeah, Girl from Mars, which we played, Kung Fu, Goldfinger and Angel Interceptor. It hit number one in the UK, went platinum. It was recorded at the famous Rockfield Studios in Monmouthshire as well, where I think Queen recorded loads and The Verve, amongst others. It was really, really special. I tell you what, all the nominations it got and awards it won were pretty impressive. NME, Melody Maker, Kerrang all gave it Album of the Year. Classic Rock named it as the number one greatest debut album ever. That was in 2010, so it's respected as much now as it was back then. I'll tell you one of the things that's lost now that you don't get anymore is the old hidden track. Remember that? You'd sometimes get one before the proper track listing, or there'd be a little bonus ball sort of 25 minutes later after the whole album finished. And theirs was pretty special. They had one called Jack Names the Planets, which was kind of the precursor to the proper album. And then Do You Remember Sick Party? Remember that, Vin?
I do. We had a little chat off air, didn't we, about whether we could play it.
Yeah, you've done your producer thing, Killjoy. You can't play that. But actually,
it's not radio friendly, but it's very funny. I'd recommend people looking it up.
Yeah, look it up. See, check out Sick Party by Ash, and you'll hear what Northern Irish bands were doing in 1996 when they got hold of recording equipment. It's very, very funny indeed. Ash toured that album last year as well, 1977, to celebrate the 20th anniversary. They are superb live. And I think they were well deserving of their little tribute tonight in Classic Albums. A lot of love from people for it tonight. Ella said, Girl from Mars, fantastic song from an amazing album. And Greg said, one of my favourite albums ever, Ash, 1977. That was great. If you've got a suggestion for us to look at another classic album on a Monday night, why not get in touch and tell us at Radio X or on 83936.
The Evening Show. Classic Album of the Week. X.
If you're listening just earlier, we were discussing a classic album, Ash, 1977. 21 years old it is, and it's also got us incredibly nostalgic in the studio for The Secret Track. The Art of the Secret Track's almost died now. You never really hear of it. And Vin, producer Vin and I are having a little competition in here to see who could remember the most. And I think it's pretty much a draw. I had... do you remember The Fozz, Vin?
which was from The Second Coming.
Yeah, Stone Roses, yeah.
Yeah, it was from, but the reason you found it, do you remember that brilliant moment when you got an album for the first time and you listened to it, you got home, and then somebody would say, oh, do you know that little track that's on 3 minutes before the beginning? And you go, no. And you'd go home and find it. Another one as well, I used to listen to albums on repeat when I went to bed. And I remember The Second Coming because about half an hour later, Nine Tracks of Silence, the Fozz kicks in and it'd be that mad screeching of violins. It was mental.
That's exactly what I had. I went to see Block Party on Friday night. And they were my suggestion to you, weren't they? That you're doing the same thing, listening and listening and listening, and then it dies away. Then you have this beautiful, lovely, gorgeous sound at the end of Silent Alarm.
I'll have to look that one up. Yeah, I'm thinking of others. The Cage, I think it was called, was from Oasis, Heathen Chemistry, 2002. Do you remember that one? Probably not.
Not too much,
No, it's not your thing. You're a Block Party man, aren't you? Green Day, Dookie as well, back in 94, they had a song called All By Myself. There was about 2 minutes of silence at the end of the album, and then that song kicked in. You got any others up your sleeve, Vin?
Well, Coldplay do it a lot, don't they? Yes. Do you remember Till Kingdom Come?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it was beautiful, actually. Yeah.
And I think the best one I could think of was The Beatles, Let It Be.
Yeah.
There's Her Majesty. It's like 20 seconds, isn't it, Her Majesty? But right at the end of that, gorgeous.
A beautiful madness. And also The Clash, Train in Vain, we played it earlier on. That didn't actually appear on the sleeve for London Calling. It was a last-minute sort of squeeze it on. So that could count as a secret track. Maybe you've got some as well.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
This is The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Today is the anniversary of the terrible accident where Viola Beach lost their life. Last year, we paid tribute to the late Warrington Band by hosting a very special playback of their excellent debut album, A Day Ahead of its release. Following their death, of band members Chris, River, Thomas and Jack, and their manager Craig in that car crash in Sweden, the families decided to release a posthumous album in their honour. The self-titled album was released in July and it reached number one in August. In the week following the crash, the single Boys That Sing entered the charts, and the previous single Swings and Waterslides went straight in at number 11, following a brilliant public campaign and support from the likes of Liam Gallagher and other big stars. Last year, in a show presented by Communion's Maz, who worked really closely with the band, we played all 9 tracks of their eponymous LP and featured tributes from the band members' family, friends and fellow musicians. You can hear it all again. Just go to radiox.co.uk. Right, Rich Perry, he was really close to the boys and he worked with them. This is him talking about the first time the band's manager, Craig Tarry, sent him some of their music.
He phoned me up randomly one day and said, I found a new band called Viola Beach. He said, I've got the MP3 of the first song. I said, what's it called? And he said, Swings and Waterslides. I said, send it to me. I listened to it and I phoned you back. I went, there's something going on here because you don't write that as your first song. It's too good. And I've done this nearly 30 years, Craig. That's a smash. When can we see him?
That was Rich Perry talking about Viola Beach. And let's celebrate the boys and their legacy. Let's enjoy the music. This is a brilliant song. Viola Beach, Swings and Waterslides.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Last night, we've been talking a little bit about award shows, but last night, Megadeth won a Grammy. You'd probably know that already, being huge fans of Warhammer music. But they took home the prestigious Best Metal Performance for that famous track, Dystopia. Of course you knew that. But the special moment was ruined because the organisers stupidly played Metallica instead. They played, I think the track was Master of Puppets. But they very politely just accepted the award and moved on. And it got me thinking as well. I had a weird weekend with Lars Ulrich. It's very difficult for me to say that. Lars Ulrich. It was 2 days, a massive 2-day bender. He's a huge Anglophile, loves all things British. And we went on the lash with Mr. Noel Gallagher at a U2 gig. And it was 2 nights back to back at Wembley. And on the last night, he said, you know, Gordon, you Scottish guy, you know, he's got this mental accent. He said, what do you do? Because you seem to know quite a lot of people here, but nobody's mentioned what you do. And I said, I work for newspapers. I work in a tabloid newspaper. I'm the showbiz editor of The Sun. And he said, hey, man, you know what? At least you're no Gary Bushell. And I thought, I'm going to take that. I'm going to have it on my gravestone one day. He was no Gary Bushell. What a proud moment. Lars Ulrich from Metallica. Let's play some Metallica now. This is Nothing Else Matters on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
So last night, you might be able to tell, actually, my voice. I got a bit of gravel in there again. It was a wild night out. NME Awards. Every year, our rock and roll carry on, and last night didn't let down. I think over the years, there have been some special moments. Ryan Jarman impaling himself on a glass being taken to hospital. Russell Brand and Bob Geldof having a massive argument. I also remember the Vampire Weekend drummer being run over outside the after show event. I shouldn't laugh. It was quite serious. Taken to hospital, quite badly injured. I think he broke his back. So it's got a bit of history. So last night I turned up, ran from the evening show, got myself along to Brixton Academy, turned up to see Johnny Marr presenting the Pet Shop Boys with the Godlike Genius Award, which has got a special moment because I'm reading Johnny's autobiography and he talks about how important the Pet Shop Boys were in his career after the Smiths when he kicked off electronic with Bernard Sumner. So it was really special to see that, and they played a great set, I have to say. Not quite Radio X material, the Pet Shop Boys, but played their part in music history. A great, great live act. Then we went off to the after shows and the mischief really started. I managed to get in tow with Carl Barrett from the Libertines, which is always a bad sign for your liver. He was in great form. He used to give me a hard time when I worked in newspapers because I used to describe him as one of the biggest caners over the year, but he was more annoyed about it because he felt like a sustainer rather than a binge drinker. And he told me this incredible story, I'd never heard it before, about one of the biggest fights he'd had with Pete Doherty, and it just got to the point where they were so angry with each other that he managed to get his hands on a gun, an old antique gun, 12 bore shotgun, and pointed it at Pete and said that he was going to kill him. And he said Pete was so unmoved and unscared by the sight of him with a gun, he thought it wouldn't be the right way to end the Libertines, so he had to pack the gun away, and they carried on as a band. But that's the kind of story you get from Carl Barrett when you're out. He was in great form last night. Theo Hutchcraft was there. You might remember Hurt's huge Puge act over in Eastern Europe as well, massive in America too. And Theo Hutchcraft was probably doing the most preening peacock style frontman in the rock and roll tradition, with a weird kind of leopard skin jacket all the way to the knees, swanning around the after party and enjoying himself. He was in great form. And yeah, it was a pretty special night. All the awards as well, very in tune with Radio X. Bastille won Best Album for Wild World. Always great for a Scotsman to say that. 1975, Best Live. And Supersonic, the Oasis documentary, won Best Music Film. But the Best British Band, who else could it have been? I saw them last night and they were celebrating in true Scottish style. Biffy Clyro on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
That was the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like it, make sure you subscribe, tell all of your friends, and leave a really glowing review. And remember, I'm on Radio X every weeknight. Don't laugh, Vin. I'm on Radio X every weeknight from 7 p.m.
As long as it's glowing, right?
Yeah, you've got glowing's the right word, isn't it? Okay. It's like when they describe the Queen Mother and say she's radiant. Reviews should be glowing.
Are we making ourselves regal now as well?
I think we are regal. The royal we.
It's a royal podcast, all right.
It is indeed.
Radio X. Get into the music.